Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Kiva Raya the Ben Kalba Savur Hava. Rabbi Kiva was the shepherd in the home of Kalba Savur, and as Rashi explains, that Kalba Savur was called this name because he was one of the very wealthy people in Yerushalayim, and Komi Shanichnas Shkola Nichnas Labesa Rav Kekelev, anyone who entered his home hungry as a dog, Hayotze Sava would leave full. So the Tver Shlaima asks, yes, we want to point out that Kalba Tzavu was this wonderful Machnas Eirich and fed everyone who was hungry. So we should have called him Hamachnas Eirich. Hamachal Anoshim. Why do we call him a name like Kalba Savur? Says the Tver Shlaima. There are people that are invited to one's home, but they're not always necessarily hungry. They're hungry or they're not hungry. Kalba Savur has such a burning desire to do the mitzvah of Achnosas Archim that even if someone came to his home, he invited someone to his home, and the person wasn't hungry, but because Kalba Savur had this great cheshik to do the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim, min hashemayim, they would make everybody who came to his home hungry as a dog, so that he could have the schus of Savur, of satiating him with food. Chazita barati David Tzniya Mali. So Kalba Savur's daughter saw that Rabbi Kiva had the good traits of Tznius Amali. Mepharshim explained that means he had midos tovas, he had good behavior characteristics, and he was a Yerushimayim. Amrla, so she said to him, "Im Megdishinloch Ozlobe Rav, if I marry you, will you agree to go to yeshiva?" Amrla in. So she said, he said yes. They got married quietly. The Shadar saying she sent him to yeshiva. So Tosfos asks that how could the Gemara say that Rabbi Kiva had these wonderful midos when the Gemara says Masechet Pesachim, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Kshiyisi Amoritz, Rabbi Kiva said that while I was an Amoritz, Hayisi Omer, I would say, Mi Yitein Li Talmud Chacham, if a Talmud Chacham comes into my hands, Vanashcheno, Kechamor, I'll bite him like a donkey. So you see, they didn't have such great midas. So Tosfos answers, Rabbi Kiva acted this way because he felt that the Talmid Chachamim acted with gaiva, acted arrogantly towards others, and that's why he didn't like Talmid Chachamim. Another pshat Tosfos says is because the halacha is, the Gemara says that Big Day Amoritz, the clothing and what the Amoritz wear and touch all become Tamei. So Rabbi Kiva, when he was an Amoritz, was very upset about that halacha, and that's why he did not like Talmid Chachamim. Ritva says there were three stages in Rabbi Kiva's life. There was the stage that's referred to in Masechet Pesachim, when he was a real Amoritz who hated Talmid Chachamim. Then there was the next stage of his life, which Al-Gemar is referring to, that he was Sni or Male, but he wasn't yet a Talmud Chacham. And then, as we will soon learn, the last stage of his life, when he was the great Rabbi Kiva. As the Ben Yoyada, Kalba Savur's daughter wants to marry a Talmud Chacham, and therefore she chose Rabbi Kiva, who would become a Talmud Chacham. So he asks, as we just explained, Kalba Savur was a very wealthy man. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, she was obviously a very special woman. So she could have chosen any Talmud Chacham as a chassan. Why did she choose Rabbi Kiva, who was yet not a Talmud Chacham at all? So he answers, as we learned in the previous year, women aren't mechuyev in Talmud Torah. However, women, by supporting their husbands who learn Torah, get the schar for limud haTorah. So Kalba Savur's daughter made the following calculation. If she'll marry a chassan who's a Talmud Chacham. So he was a Talmud Chacham already before she married him. So she won't get credit for his being a Talmud Chacham. So she purposely took a person who did not have a background as a Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Kiva, who did not have this background, so to say, and say, this person who is becoming a Talmud Chacham, because of my supporting him, I will certainly get total credit for him having become a Talmud Chacham. Shemavua, so when her father heard that she married this simple shepherd, Afkamibese, he threw out of his home, Adrahanom and Nechse, and he made a nether that she can't have any benefit from him. Also, Yasa traced three Shonim Berei Rav. So Rabbi Kiva went and learned 12 years in Yeshiva. He also, when he came back, Aisa Bahadei Trey Sari Alfi Talmidim. He came back with 12,000 Talmidim. Shamala Husava de Kamala, he heard an old man saying to his wife, At Kamo Kam Medabt Amonis Chaim. How long will you remain a living widow without a husband? It's interesting, the Avos Rav Nosson points out, how did Rabbi Kiva not be home all these years and not live with his wife and be Mekayim the Mitzvah Pur Ravu? Says the Avos Rav Nosson, Rabbi Kiva already was married previously and had children from before. In fact, some say his name, Rabbi Yishuv ben Karchop, was Rabbi Kiva's son who he had from before, and therefore he did not have an issue of Pur Ravu. Amrle, so she answered him, if it was up to me, he would remain another 12 years in yeshiva. And as Mefarshim explained, the first 12 years that he was learning, he was learning to fulfill the condition that he made with her, that he would go to yeshiva to learn. The second 12 years were the time they could truly grow. Omar, so Rabbi Kiva said, I see Brishus Karavidna, my wife gives me permission to remain in yeshiva. And so he went back. Hadar Azal. So there's a famous question that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks. Rabbi Kiva is already by the door of his home. 12 years he hasn't seen his wife. So go in, say hello, and go right back to yeshiva. So Reb Cheska Levenstein, the Panovitcher Mashgiach, answers that Rabbi Kiva was concerned that if he would go in, he would get busy with all different types of issues that would detract him from going back to learn. But Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz answers, 2 times 12, 24 is not 2 times 12. That's the way he used to say it. 24 years of learning Torah, Beretzifus, without any interruption, is not the same as learning 12 years plus 12 years with an interruption. The mashal that's given is that a 2-carat diamond is not just worth double 2 1-carat diamonds, it's a different diamond altogether. Similarly, Rabbi Kiva felt the learning of 24 years straight without any interruption is so much greater, and that's why he went right back. He remained another 12 years in yeshiva. When he came back with 24,000 students. Shama Davisa, his wife, heard. She went out to greet him. So a neighbor said to her, it would be appropriate that you should borrow some nice clothing to dress yourself when you're going to see your husband after all these years. Amr lehu, so she said to her neighbor, Yedeya tzadik nefesh behemtoi. A tzadik knows his animal without the trappings of clothing. So Ben Yoyada says pshat, that what she was saying was the following. She says, sometimes a wife has to put on nice clothing, nice jewelry, to make herself attractive to her husband. She was saying, the relationship that exists between Rabbi Kiva and me is a much deeper bond. It's an emotional bond. It's a bond of Yodeya Tzadik Nefesh. It's a bond of our neshamis that are connected to each other, and therefore we don't require the outer trappings of clothing and jewelry to be attracted to each other. kimata legabei. So when she comes to see him, naflal apa, she fell on her face. Kamenashkele lekarei, and she was kissing his foot. So Mefarshim asked, if they weren't together all these years, most probably she was a nida. So how could she touch him? So some Mefarshim explain that, as we've discussed many times, in those days they were careful about tumah tahara, to eat food only b'tahara. So even people, women who weren't married, would be careful to remain tahor, that they could be able to eat food b'tahara, and that's why she wasn't a nida. Another shot that I saw that the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, is that there's a question that's discussed by many Paiskim: if a woman's husband is not home and she could go to the mikveh, should she go anyway? And they say, from here is a raya, that a woman should go to the mikveh anyway. Just like Rabbi Kiva's wife, even though Rabbi Kiva wasn't home all these years, still remained tahor, because she went to the mikveh whenever she could, even though her husband wasn't home. So the people standing around Rabbi Kiva were pushing her away. Amalus, Rabbi Kiva said to them, Shafkua, leave her alone. Shali v'shalachem shalahu. Everything that I and my Talmidim have is all in her merit. Shama avua da osa gavra rabba lamasa. So her father heard that a great person came to the city. Ama ezla gabe. I want to go meet him. Efshe de mefin adroi. Maybe he'll be able to annul the neder I made that I can't have any relation benefit with my daughter all these years. Osla gabe came to meet him. Amale adata de gavra rabba mi nedart. So Rabbi Kiva asked him, he obviously didn't know it was Rabbi Kiva, his son-in-law, when you made the neder, did you make the neder with the intention that if he would be a great person, the neder should be effective? Amalei, so he replied, afilu perek echad, afilu halacha achas. Even if he would have known just one perek or one halacha, I would have never made that neder. Amalei, so Rabbi Kiva said, anahu, I am that person. And that's how he annulled the neder. Ask Tosfos. Says that the Gemara says in Masechet Nedarim, ein poiskim v'noilad, that when somebody comes to have a neder annulled, so the person has to say, can ask him, when you made the neder, had you known at that time that this were the circumstances? And he says, no, I wouldn't have made it. Then the neder could be annulled. But to say, if you would have known something about the future, that's not called a legitimate reason to annul a neder. Rabbi Kiva only became a Talmud Chacham, the great Talmud Chacham, much later. So how could that be considered a legitimate way that the neder should be annulled? Answers Tosfos with a very important rule. Tosfos says, if someone goes to learn in yeshiva and he wants to learn Torah, he will be successful. It's not a question. So says Tosfos, this that we say ein poiskim v'noilad is that the person had no way of knowing that this was going to happen. But Kalba Savua could have clearly known that Rabbi Kiva will turn into a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Kiva went to yeshiva, and anyone that goes to yeshiva with the intention and the desire to learn and does learn will be a Talmud Chacham, and therefore it's not considered a noilad. Other Mefarshim say that Rabbi Kiva, already when he left, knew some Torah, and therefore he was already, at that time, the neder was made incorrectly, because already at that point he was a Talmud Chacham. Other explain that the entire neder, the Kalba Savua, made was a neder betos. It was made under erroneous conditions, because if he was had Kalba Savua been aware of the condition that his daughter made with Rabbi Kiva, to that he would have agreed that they could get married. The Rivash asks, how could Rabbi Kiva been the individual to be matter the neder? The halacha is that someone cannot be a dayan, cannot be a judge in a case that he is a nogei b'dover, where he has an issue with. So Rabbi Akiva was the one that the neder was made about. How could he be the rov that was matan neder? So according to the mefarshim that we just quoted, that this wasn't a situation of hataras nedarim. Rather, it was a situation where Rabbi Akiva pointed out to his father-in-law that the neder was made erroneously. So if so, it's a neder b'tos. That a nogei b'dover can be involved with. Another terrorist that the Shalman Nedarim suggests is that a neder, in this situation, where it's so obvious that had Kalba Savua been aware what Rabbi Akiva would end up being, he certainly would have never made the neder under these circumstances. It's so obvious, then even a relative could be the dayan. Because why are we concerned that a relative can't be a dayan? Because we're concerned that he's partial. But this is like an open and shut case, and there is no question, and therefore he could be a dayan. Another pshat that the Rivash suggests is that there were three dayanim sitting on the bezdin that were made for this neder, and the halacha that were matter this neder. And the Rivash says that the halacha that the dayan can't be a relative or negei b'dover is only if all three dayanim have that disqualification. But here, since only if, as says the Rivash, as long as one dayan doesn't have that disqualification, the bezdin remains a kosher bezdin. So Kalba Savui, hearing what happened here, nafak al ape v'nashke al kara, fell on the ground and kissed his feet. V'yavo le pagma money, gave him away half his money. Mefarshim ask that, as we learned earlier, one is not supposed to give away hamavazbiz, ayavazbiz yoysa mechaymish. So how did Kalba Savua give away half of his money? So Rav Flos says, what the Gemara here means is that the Gemara says, la'olam yashlish adam ma'oysav. A person should divide his assets, shlish b'karka, a third in real estate, shlish b'karka matya, a third in business, v'shlish b'mamon, a third in liquid cash. So he only gave away a half of the liquid cash, which certainly didn't represent half of his fortune. Another pshat is that even though there are halachas limiting how much one can give away, but if it's for the purpose of hachzakas Torah, learning Torah, which clearly was the situation here, Rabbi Akiva with 24,000 talmidim, what a large yeshiva there was, so that one could give away more money. Another pshat that I saw was that if one doesn't treat a Talmud Chacham properly, a terrible Aveira, there the halacha is that whatever he has, whatever money he has, he should use to reconcile with the Talmud Chacham. Here, since Kalba Savua had not treated Rabbi Akiva and his wife properly, he needed to spend this money to get the reconciliation. Says the Gemara, back to Rabbi Akiva, the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, of the Leila ben Azai Hachi, acted the same way to Ben Azai. That Ben Azai went to learn and she let him go learn. Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechet Sota says that Ben Azai says Ma'esa Nashki Choshke B'Toira. That Ben Azai didn't get married. So how does the Gemara suggest that Rabbi Akiva's daughter married Ben Azai? So Tosfos answers, either our Gemara is going according to Manda Omar, that says that they got married but then got divorced, or shot in the Gemara there is that they had erison but they never consummated their marriage to a nesuin. Behind the damri inshi, and this is what people say, rechila bas rechila eza, a sheep follows a sheep. Ke'uv de ima kach avdi barta, like the mother acts, so acts the daughter. Rabbi Akiva's wife acted this way, so did her daughter. The Masham says, interestingly, that both Rabbi Akiva's wife and daughter, both of them, their name was Rachel. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef bereid the Rava, Shadri Avu Lebei Rav Lekamed Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rava, was sent by his father to study in a yeshiva by Rabbi Yosef. Paskalei Shishani, and there was an arrangement that he would remain in yeshiva for 6 years. Kehavet Lashni, after 3 years, Matamal Yom Kippurim on Erev Yom Kippur, Omer Ezel Vachsinel Enshebesi. Let me come home and see how my family is. And as the Mefarshim explained, he specifically chose the day of Erev Yom Kippur to come home to demonstrate that he wasn't coming home because he wanted to have relations with his wife, because it's Yom Kippur. And we know that on Yom Kippur, Tashmish Shemita is forbidden. He was coming home just because he wanted to see how is his family. Shomavu, his father hears of this, that he interrupted his learning. Shokel Mona, v'nofikul ape. He took out a stick to hit him. Omalei, zonoschon et karta. Do you remind of your zoina, that you want to have relations? Ikadam remalei, yoinoschon et karta. You're reminded of your dove. You're supposed to be thinking and learning, not about your family. And the Mepharshim explained, why did he want to hit him? So the Mepharshim said, we know the Pasuk says, Hakol kol Yaakov v'yedai m'day Esav. And Rashi teaches us, when Yaakov is sitting and learning, so he was saying to him, is you, by interrupting your learning, you're going to cause that you should be hit by Yidei Esav, you should be hurt. Another pshat in the same lines, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Hasefer v'hasayof yordu kruchim min hashamayim. From Shemayim came down together the Sefer Torah and Saif and a sword. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, if we learn the Sefer, we don't have to be concerned about the Saif. And if not, Chas V'Sholem. And this is what his father was saying. You, by stopping to learn, you cause yourself that you should be concerned about the Saif. Itrit, so they were disagreeing with each other. Loimarevsik, and neither of them ate the Suda Mafsekis that Erev Yom Kippur. Says the Mishnah, Hameredes Abala, our Gemara Mitzvashem soon will teach us exactly who is a Meredes, what makes a woman a Meredes. But teaches us the Mishnah, Hameredes Abala, if a woman rebels against her husband, Paischlam Ksubasa Shiva Dinner B'Shabbos, we deduct from her Ksuba 7 dinarim per week, and Yehuda Omer Shiva Tarpikin, we deduct 7 tarpikin. So Mepharshim asks, we're deducting from her ksuba with the intent, as we'll see, that she should correct her ways and come back to her husband. But if we deduct it from her ksuba, the halacha is that the ksuba we learned earlier in our perek, that a husband and a wife may not remain together if they don't have a valid ksuba. So how could we deduct from the ksuba and then have them get back together? So some mepharshim indeed suggest that if she behaves better and she comes back to her husband, we rewrite a new ksuba with the proper amount, which many mepharshim don't agree with, because they say, then what we have accomplished? If we punish them, we give her right back the money, so then we haven't accomplished anything. So the Maram Shif explains, what is the reason that Chazal initiated a ksuba? It was on the benefit of the women, of the wives, that the husband should not be able to quickly divorce them. This woman who acted improperly loses that protection of Chazal, and therefore the halacha would be that she would not have the full ksuba that every other woman has. So the Tana Kama holds, we either take off Shiva Dinrim or Shiva Tarpikim per week because of her action. And as is obvious, it's one dinner or tarpik a day. And Tosfos says that she changes her way in the middle of the week. So then whatever day of the week, that's how many dinrim or tarpikim for that week we would deduct. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that our Mishnah says that it's 7 dinrim. Why is it Shiva dinrim? Because as we learned earlier, there are 7 things, there are 7 malachas a woman has to do on behalf of her husband, and therefore for each one of those malachas she has to do, she loses Shiva dinrim. And the husband that we're going to learn, if he acts improperly, we keep on adding to the ksuba. 3 are for the sheira ksusa vaynasa that a husband is obligated to give to his wife. That's the Yerushalmi's pshat. It's quite obvious that the Bavli doesn't agree with that pshat, and that the the Bavli holds that the Shiva Dinrim represent one dinner a day, and the Shiva Tarpikim represent a punishment of a ma and a half a day, not connected to their obligations to each other. In fact, the Mefarshim do explain that according to the Yerushalmi, that it's seven malachas, but besides seven malachas, there's also the obligation of oina, that a woman has to be prepared to have relations with her husband. So those are eight things. So the Mefarshim explain that amongst the seven things that a woman has to do for her husband, we'll discuss soon in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, is she has to work and turn over her wages to her husband. That is not included in the consideration of our Mishnah. He says that the ksubas reduced is a separate din from the wages that she owes her husband. And therefore, we're back to seven items corresponding to the Sheva Dinrim or the Sheva Tarpikim. Continues the Mishnah, Ad Masayu Parchas, how much do we continue to deduct? Ad Kenegit Ksubasa, until the entire value of the Ksuba is reduced. We can keep on reducing the Ksuba with the understanding, Shem Tipala Yerusha Makamacher, if she will have money come to her from somewhere else, Goyva Mena, he'll be able to collect from that. And there's a machlokes rishonim in the understanding of the Tanakhama. That the Tanakhama says, the Tanakhama doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi, that from future earnings we don't deduct. What will be the halacha regarding the Nichsi Melug? The Ramban and the Ran hold that the Nichsi Melug are included in the Ksuba, and they would be used as assets to deduct from if she is a Meredes. The Rambam holds that according to the Tanakhama, we don't deduct from the Nichsi Melug. And even in the opinion of the Rashba and the Ran, there's a Machloikus Rishonim, that when we begin deducting, and certainly this is a Machloikus according to the Rabbi Yehuda, when we begin deducting, do we begin first deducting from the actual Ksuba, or do we first begin deducting from the Nichsi Melug? Says the Mishnah further, similarly, if someone chas v'shalom rebels against his wife, we add every week three dinrim to the ksuba. But of course, the mefarshim, the rishonim, explain that even though we add to the ksuba, she doesn't get this payment until she actually collects the ksuba whenever the marriage terminates completely. And similarly, the Mefarshim say that as we've learned and will learn that a woman has the right to sell her ksuba. So if a woman sells a ksuba and she becomes a meredes, the lekuchas, those people who purchase the ksuba, take this loss if the ksuba is reduced, or they get this gain if the ksuba is increased. The Rishonim also explain that if she is a meredes, why would we should have this din? Shouldn't we just force them to live together as a husband and wife should live together? Say to Mefarshim, it may very well be that we would indeed force them to live properly as husband and wife, but that doesn't change him or her from being a Meirid or Meredes, that the halachas that we learned in our Mishnah and now we'll learn in our Gemara apply. Ask the Gemara Meredes from Mai, exactly what does it mean that she rebelled? Rav Huna Amar, Mitashma Shamita. It means that she refuses to have relations with her husband. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Amar, Melocha. She refuses to work the required work that she's supposed to do. So Pash Pshat in the Gemara, and this is the way Tosfos explains this Machloikis, is that as we have learned earlier, this Machloikis, Reish, Lakish, and Rav Huna, if a woman has the right to say, I'm not going to turn over my wages, and I don't expect you to support me. According to Rav Huna, a woman has the right to say that. According to Reish Lakish, a woman does not have the right to say it. So that's how we can explain the Machloikis. Rav Huna says, if a woman's refusing to turn over her wages, that doesn't make her a meredes, because every woman, according to Rav Huna, has the right to do that. So it must be from Tashmish. According to Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, that it means from Malacha, because Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina agrees with Rav Reish Lakish, that a woman does not have the right to say, I'm not turning over my wages, and I'm not going to, and I don't want to be supported. So even if she refuses to work, the halacha is that she is considered meredith. However, there are Rishonim, the Talmidi Ben Yoina, as quoted by the Shita, say that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina can agree with Rav Huna that a woman has the right to say, I don't want to turn over my wages, I don't want to be supported. But the case over here is regarding a woman who took the support and is from her husband and is refusing to turn over the wages. Meaning, yes, if this woman said, I'm not giving you my wages and I don't want support, then she wouldn't be meredis. But if she's taking the support and then refuses to turn over the wages, that is considered, according to Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, a meredis. So the Gemara now, and as we will learn, the Gemara becomes clear, holds that according to Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, a woman who refuses to have relations with her husband is not considered a meredis. Ask the Rishonim, how can one think that way? Isn't that a basic requirement, an obligation of a wife in her marriage? So Rishonim say that at this point, the Gemara holds that, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina holds that a woman who refuses to have relations with her husband, we force her to have those relations, and she's not considered a meredis. There's also a machlokes when the Gemara, when Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says that melacha is what she's refusing. What does melacha exactly mean? Does it mean that she refuses to do anything that a wife has to do on behalf of her husband? Others want to say that it's the actual wages, as we were discussing, and others suggest that just the opposite. The extra things that the wife has to do in the home and she refuses to do, that's what will make her a meredis. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, v'ken ha-moir al ishtoi, if somebody rebels against his wife. Asked the Gemara, bishlam mandam tashmish l'chai. So the same thing could be tashmish, that if the husband refuses to have tashmish with his wife, he is considered a moirid. Ela Lamanda Omer Malacha, according to Manda Omer that says Merida depends on refusal to work. So ask the Gemara Mishabudla, is the husband obligated to support his wife? Says Gemara, absolutely, in. But Omer Ein Nizan Vein Mefaris, when a husband says I'm not feeding my wife and I'm not providing for her, he is obligated to do that and he's considered a Merida. In fact, Tosfos says that the obligation of a husband to take care and support his wife goes up to the point that he has to be prepared to be a slave or do anything that's required to bring Parnassa into the home. And that's what many Rishonim say is what is meant in the Ksuba Vano Eflach, that I will work to support my family under all circumstances. And as the Chazon Ish points out, that this is unique to the relationship between a husband and a wife. He says, for example, somebody owes someone else money, so certainly he has an obligation to repay his debt, but he doesn't have to go hire himself out to be an eved or do something menial, some menial job to be able to repay his debt. He should do what he can. Here, however, the obligation of a husband to a wife is a lot deeper, and it's considered, and the husband, if he doesn't do that, is considered a moirid. There's also machloikis of the Chazon Ish and the Beis Meir, if the husband is partially supporting his wife, would that already be will he be considered a meirid or not? According to the Beis Meir, he would not be considered a meirid if he's giving her partial support. According to the Chazon Ish, if he's not giving all the support that a husband must give a wife, as we will learn in Mitzvah and further Mishnayos, what that entails, he is already considered a meirid. Ask the Gemara, Vamer Rav, Hamel Eini Zon Ve'Eini Mefarnes. If somebody says that I'm not going to support my wife, Yoy Tzvi Tinksuba, we just make them get divorced. So what are we saying here? That he's considered a Moirid. With the halachas that the Mishnah teaches us that we keep on adding to the Ksuba, they should get divorced and he should pay his Ksuba. Answers the Gemara, for Lavlam Luchim Beiboy, yes, of course we're going to want them to get divorced. But until the divorce actually happens, we try to talk to him and try to have him better his ways. During that time, he's a Moirid and the Ksuba keeps on increasing. Other Rishonim have the Girsa Vam Lav Lamlucha Baboi, that we have to consult with her. Does she want this divorce to happen? And in that interim, the Ksuba keeps on increasing. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Achasli, the din of a Meredis applies by an Arusa, and applies by an Asua, a Fila Nida, applies when the woman is a Nida, applies when the woman is a Chayla, and applies when the woman is a Shemeres Yavam. And we're going to not learn the parentheses. The parentheses Rashi doesn't have that girsa in the Gemara. But before we get into the Gemara further, Mefarshim asks, an Arusa, they're not married altogether. So if they're not married, how can we have a situation of Meredes? So Mefarshim explained that it's referring to a situation with it, as we learned earlier in the Mishnayis, where the time to get married comes and the husband wants to get married and she refuses to get married, that is a reason to deduct from her ksuba. And also the Mefarshim explained, we've had a shaila many times, is there a ksuba by an arusa in the first place? That we're going according to the man the Amr that there is, or that this husband voluntarily wrote on a ksuba for arusa, or yet another pshat that I saw is that what the Gemara means is when they ultimately have nesuin, that ksuba that does then become effective will be deducted from because of this behavior. The Mefarshim ask, how can we have a Shemeres Yovim be a Meredes? So the Mefarshim say that the Shemeres Yovim's Merida is that they had it in Torah, and the Bezdin says that the husband should take her for Yibam, and he starts supporting her, and then she refuses to go through with the Yibam. So ask the Gemara. Bishlam Lamandam Metashmish, according to Mandam that says a Meredes is considered a woman who refuses to have Tashmish with a husband. So we could understand why the Bryce is teaching us that even a woman who's sick could be a Meredes, because just because she's sick doesn't mean she can't go to work, but she could have Tashmish, and her refusal to have Tashmish makes her into a Meredes. El Manda Amr Malacha, according to Manda Amr, that Meredes means that she refuses to do Malacha. The question is, Chayla Bas Malacha Hi? She's sick. She can't work anyway. Ella, why are you going to say, so says the Gemara Mitashmish, the Gemara retracts, and says everybody agrees that if a woman refuses to have Tashmish with her husband, Kula Amaloi Pligadav Meredes, everybody will agree that such a woman is a Meredes, Ki Pligi Mimalocha. The Machlaikas is, if a woman refuses to turn over her wages, Masava, Rav Huna holds, that would not make her a Meredes, Mimalocha Loi have Meredes, Masava, Rav Yosef Bar Chanina holds, Mimalocha Name have Meredes, that's also a reason to be a Meredes. Gufa quotes the Gemara Braisa, Hamredes Abala, if a woman is Meredes on a husband, Poichslam Ksubasa, Shiva Dinrim Bishabis. We deduct 7 dinrim a week, Rabbi Yudai Meshiva Tarpikim. Rabbi Asenu Chosvinim, says the Gemara, the later Rabbonim, and as the Rishonim explained, that because Chazal saw that this protracted way of getting her to change doesn't really work, so Rabbi Nesenu Chosra Nimnu Shem Achrizin Ala Arba Shabbos Zuach Azu, for 4 consecutive weeks we announce that she is Meredes. V'shalchum Abbezdin, Abbezdin sends her the message, Have Yadas Shafil Ksubasach Mei Mona Hifsadata, that even if your Ksuba is a very large Ksuba, if you don't change your ways you will lose your Ksuba. and continues the Braisa, Achasli Arusa v'Nesua, and makes no difference an Arusa and Nesua, a Fila Nida, a Fila Chayla, whether she's a Nida or a Chayla, Fila Shemeres Yavin. So does the Rishonim discuss what will be the halakha if this woman, after these 4 weeks, gets the message of the Achraza, of the announcement, and acts better? Is her Ksuba affected or not? Some Rishonim suggest that during those weeks, we deduct from the Ksuba, and the Ksuba remains permanently deducted. Others say that if she, in the 4 weeks, comes back, then her Ksuba is not affected at all. But they do want to make the point that if she continues acting this way, being meredis and coming back, ultimately we will have to start deducting from her Ksuba. The Achraza is done. The reason the Achraza is done, the Rishonim explain, is either to embarrass her. We announce, as we're going to learn in Shul, that she's acting as a meredis, and that will cause her to, the embarrassment perhaps will cause her to act properly. Or another pshat is that her relatives who are in Shul will hear of her improper behavior, and that will cause her, they will influence her to start acting more appropriately. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Chiba Yosef L'Shmuel, Nida Bas Tashmashi. We're saying that a meredis is a woman who refuses to have relations with her husband. But a nida does not have relations with her husband. So why is she considered a meredis if she refused to have relations? Ask Tosfos. The Gemara is saying that according to the Mandamah that says Bas Tashmish, the reason is that because of Tashmish we have a question. But according to the Manda Omer that makes a meredis because she refuses to work, why would the Braisa have to teach us that a nida is a meredis? Why is she different? Of course, if she doesn't work and turn over her wages to her husband, she's a meredis. Answers Tosfos that a nida is not a well woman. And therefore, since she's not a well woman, she's suffering, she's having a period, so if she doesn't, I would think perhaps if she doesn't turn over her wages, she's not a meredith because she couldn't go to work. That's why the Braisa is teaching us maybe she can't work as normally she does work, but she is considered a meredith if she doesn't give over the wages that she could have. In fact, the Paiskim use this concept to be somewhat lenient in certain areas of halacha regarding a woman who is a nida. The Ramah suggests that maybe she would be allowed to eat meat during the 9 days. There are other paiskim that suggest that on fast days we could maybe be a little more lenient with a woman who's a nida and not require to fast. But the question is, if she's a nida and meredis means tashmish, what do we have a complaint to her? She couldn't have done tashmish anyway. She's a nida. Answers the Gemara Amalei, and I'm Mishesh le pas pasale, Mishesh le pas pasale. She. If she says that she's not going to have relations with her husband, that the husband's much worse off because he knows that after she'll be a nida, she refuses to have tashmish, and that's why she's considered a meredis. In fact, there's a very interesting discussion amongst the poskim, what will be the halacha of a wife who refuses to go to the mikveh? So certainly the husband and wife can't have relations. May they have yichud with each other? And the Marsham suggest that they're not allowed to be b'yichud. They're only allowed to be b'yichud because ultimately they're going to have relations. But this woman who's refusing to have relations with her husband, they were not allowed to be b'yichud. Many poskim, I saw the Sharm Tzion Ba'alocha and Rebbe Yoshev do not necessarily agree and maybe still allow yichud. Amram Bechama, Emach Rizan Ola El B'vat the Knesias Rebbe Drushes. These announcements are made in the shul. For 4 weeks. If the announcements didn't have to take place in Shul, what does that have to say Shabbos? It could take place during the week. It's only on Shabbos where everybody's together in the Shul and the announcement is more effective. Shmamino. Amram Bechama, Pamayim Shochel Abin Bezdin. Bezdin sends her 2 messages. Achas Koid Machroza, once before the announcement, Vachas Lach Achroza, once after the announcement, to tell her what's happening. Dorish Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chizda, Halacha Kribbenesenu. And we're going to explain the Gemara as Rashi teaches us. The halacha is this, like this opinion, that we don't follow the method of our Mishnah, we rather follow this method of Achraza. Amar Rava, on that Rava says, Hai Burcha. What Rav Nachman said is incorrect. Amalei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. My Burcha say, how could you say it's incorrect? And not Amritei Nehile. I myself said this halacha. Umeshmei de Gava Rabba Amritei Nehile. And I said in the name of a great person. Who, Umanu, who was that great person? Rabbi Yosef Grab Chanina. The Iyu. And Rava, who said that it's incorrect, and says that we follow the method of our Mishnah, command sover, kihad itma. Rava Omer Rav Sheshes, halacha nimlechem ba. The halacha is that we consult her before, and we try to get them to reconcile. So obviously, we follow the method of our Mishnah, which gives us enough time to effect a reconciliation. Rav Huna, by Yehuda Omer Rav Sheshes, halacha ein nimlechem ba. That we don't consult her, and that's why we have the shaila, which method is better. Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami Meredis. Exactly what is the case of a Meredis? Oma Meirma, the Amra Beinale, I want to remain married to him. However, Metzarnale, I want to torture him. That is Meredis. Avl Omra, if she says Mosalei, if she says he's repulsive to me, like Gefinale, we do not force them to remain together, and just he should divorce her, and of course not have to pay the Ksuba. Have Mav Zutra Amra, Kefinale. Even if she says that he's repulsive to her, we still force her, and we try to use the method of our Mishnah to get them to reconcile. Says the Gemara, Hava of the, there was indeed a situation where a woman said her husband was repulsive to her. V'achva mazutra, mazutra, still following his own halak, psak, tried to get them to reconcile. V'nafik minei Rav Chanina Masura, and they ultimately reconciled, and they had a child, this great Rav Chanina of Sura. However, says the Gemara, this incident is not necessarily a support to Mazutra's psak, because Lohi, Hasan Siyata Deshmaya Hava. They had a special Siyata Deshmaya that they had such a great child. It doesn't mean necessarily that this is what we should do.